Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Following the news yesterday that the stock market's Dow Jones Industrial Average hit an all-time high of 30,000 points, President Trump interrupted a White House press briefing to take credit for the milestone. Dude, it's because you're leaving. That's like Harvey Weinstein taking credit for how much safer everyone feels in Hollywood now.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with John Oliver. But first, a closer look.
President-elect Joe Biden is moving ahead with the transition and announcing cabinet picks. Meanwhile, the outgoing president and his gang of very bad lawyers are laying the groundwork to spend 4 years baselessly claiming the election was stolen from him. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. One thing we know for sure about Donald Trump is he will never unequivocally concede. He might not even leave the White House. They're either going to have to open the roof like a tuna can and scrape him out with a spoon, or let him stay in the Lincoln bedroom because his idea for a golf-themed Beatles cover band, the Fab Four, didn't work out.
Donald, we have to leave. But I'm working on some new ones. Hold on. A hole in one. Da, 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 da. Donald, how about this one? Can't find my ball. If the band was going to take off, Donald, it would have happened by now. A long and winding course that is a par four. Oh, I like that one, Donald.
But what we know Trump knows the endgame is near is that with a few exceptions, we've barely seen or heard from him. In fact, today Trump called into a fake hearing Rudy Giuliani and Pennsylvania Republicans held in a hotel ballroom. And one of his lawyers put him on speaker, held the phone up to the mic, and let him ramble incoherently about overturning the election results.
I really appreciate being asked to speak, and I'm in the Oval Office right now, and it's very interesting to see what's going on. And this was an election that we won easily, so this was a very sad to say it. This election was rigged, and we can't let that happen. We can't let it happen for our country, and this election has to be turned around because we won Pennsylvania by a lot, and we won all of these swing states by a lot. If you were a Republican poll watcher, you were treated like a dog. Why wouldn't they overturn an election? Certainly overturn it in your state, because we have other states that are just as bad, and they talk about closed-circuit television, except you couldn't see it because the picture was so unclear, you didn't even know what they were doing. They could have been playing a baseball game. So I really appreciate it, and the country appreciates it, and we have to turn the election over.
Now, I've definitely done that with my grandparents. Just put them on speakers so you can wander away and do chores while they complain about the lawn bowling league they're in. This is what it's going to be like for every American whose family can't travel for Thanksgiving. A three-hour Zoom call where you spend most of the time off-screen chugging wine going, yeah, so the recliner came. That's great. Also, you can't tell because he's wearing a mask, but that's actually Rudy Giuliani. I'm just kidding. Rudy could wear 100 masks and you'd be able to tell it was him, you know, because he's the only one leaking. Seriously, it's hard to describe just how pathetic this is. Trump's begging them to overturn the results of an election, but just lazily calling in on a speakerphone. Usually, he at least wanders out to the White House lawn to bark at reporters like an auctioneer drunk on cough syrup. But after he lost the election, reporters hadn't seen Trump in what felt like a record amount of time.
We have not heard from the president on this. We haven't heard from him at all. He hasn't taken our questions in over 2 weeks.
And while it didn't solve any of the problems that are ingrained in our society, it was such a relief not to hear his voice. For a moment there, the whole country felt like that moment when the guy jackhammering outside your apartment all morning long finally takes a coffee break. You could hear the birds again. Because you can mute Trump on Twitter, but you can't avoid every screen on Earth. Even with the sound off, watching Trump was stressful. It's like when you see two cab drivers pulled over in the middle of the road doing this. Even without words, you know they're not inviting each other for Thanksgiving. You bring the yams, ass, and you bring the stuffing, moron, then I'll see you on Thursday, to off. But 2 weeks. 2 weeks for a man who clearly loves talking to cameras. I mean, what's going on? I'm guessing someone has to crack open his bedroom door every day at 2 in the afternoon and say to a lump of blankets, Mr. President, do you want to talk to the American people today?
No.
We think it would be a good idea.
Is COVID cured?
No. No, not yet.
Do we win Michigan?
No. We lost it again today.
No. Maybe we'll win it tomorrow. Hey, can I ask you something?
Sure, Mr. President.
Is Rudy a bad lawyer?
Yeah. Yeah, we think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But then yesterday, the Dow climbed over 30,000 for the first time ever, which was enough for Trump to throw off the duvet, pull on some pants, and give a weird and totally unprompted press conference. It seemed to be about nothing in particular and lasted almost exactly 1 minute.
Well, thank you very much, and I just want to congratulate everybody. The stock market, Dow Jones Industrial Average, just hit 30,000, which is the highest in history. We've never broken 30,000. Never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that work so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Look, I know it doesn't really matter and will be forgotten immediately, but nothing hammers home the altar Donald Trump prays to more than him referring to the Dow hitting 30,000 as a sacred number.
In fact, it reminds me of my favorite hymn, Money, 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 Money.
Still, it was so strange to see a guy that long-winded and self-obsessed keep his comments that brief. That would be like turning to your uncle at Thanksgiving and saying, Paul, do you have anything to add about paper straws or gender pronouns? And Paul says, I'd only like to say this turkey is the bomb. And then you all say thanks for the fact that Uncle Paul finally discovered CBD gummies. Trump just wandered in, rambled for a minute around random stuff that's just in the news, congratulated the American people for something, and then left. I guess that was his on to Cincinnati moment. Trump's going to start wandering around the White House lawn in a sleeveless hoodie. But I guess that's the closest we're going to get. Not a concession, but a cessation of whining. The General Services Administration has finally allowed the transition to move forward, and the White House has finally allowed Biden to start receiving the presidential daily brief. It really feels like in his enlarged heart, Trump knows this is over. But that doesn't mean he'll stop claiming it was rigged and stolen from him. He and his allies are trying to create a mythology for their supporters and election trutherism that will animate their base and become canon on Fox News and in the right-wing cinematic universe for years to come. For example, an Arizona congressman named Paul Gosar tweeted this week, "The America First agenda is just in its infancy. There are 75 million of us. Also, did you know some Japanese soldiers kept fighting for decades after the war? Oh, and I guess they eventually won? And that's why we all speak Japanese and have beautiful gardens? Cool trivia, though. Is your social media manager the kid from Jerry Maguire? There are 75 million of us. Also, did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds? Incidentally, that's the guy, Gosar, whose siblings appeared in a campaign ad for his Democratic opponent. Not just one or two of them, six of his siblings. That's like my whole family went on James Corden's Thanksgiving show, which is not going to happen, Dad. You have a contract. But that's right. Six of Gosar's siblings said to vote for his opponent. That if that happened to me, not only would I get out of politics, I would get out of the country. I'd move to some small island where no one has televisions or electricity or has ever heard of me. And even then, I'd probably end up getting killed by a 107-year-old Japanese soldier who didn't know the war was over. This is basically the same scam Trump and his gang of racist liars pulled with birtherism. For example, Trump keeps promising that this Scooby-Doo villain reunion is turning up evidence that will prove the election was rigged.
The president again tweeted, massive voter fraud will be shown.
Big voter fraud information coming out concerning Georgia. Stay tuned.
Why is Joe Biden so quickly forming a cabinet when my investigators have found hundreds of thousands of fraudulent votes, enough to flip at least four states?
Our big lawsuit, which spells out in great detail all the ballot fraud and more, will soon be filed, rigged election.
Wait, your big lawsuit hasn't been filed yet? And what were all those other lawsuits? Practice? Just working out the kinks. Now remind me, who am I supposed to be talking to? The guy in the robe or the guy in the hallway with the mop? Generally speaking, if you're alleging a massive, unprecedented, coordinated plan to rig a national election and you have the evidence to prove it, you don't file a bunch of fake lawsuits and then wait 3 weeks to file your big one. He's treating court cases the way Fred Sanford treated heart attacks. For the kids. You throw in one joke for the kids. Also, as you heard there, Trump claimed his, quote, investigators have found hundreds of thousands of fraudulent votes and that he will soon be presenting that information to the world, which is exactly the same lie he used for years during his racist birther crusade.
He may not have been born in this country. And I'll tell you what, 3 weeks ago, I thought he was born in this country. Right now, I have some real doubts. I have people that actually have been studying it, and they cannot believe what they're finding.
You have people now down there searching, I mean, in Hawaii?
Absolutely. And they cannot believe what they're finding.
Of course, the least believable part is that Trump would pay for anyone to fly to Hawaii. And if he did, I bet there were a ton of connections on that itinerary.
Okay, I need you to get to Hawaii ASAP. Now, you'll be taking a Southwest flight to Baltimore out of Islip, from there to bus to Dulles. And this is important. On that next flight, one of you has to pretend to be under two. I don't know how. You're the investigators. Don't you have disguises?
Trump's election trutherism is very much like his birtherism, an insane conspiracy theory that's also a scam to animate his base. One of Trump's sort of lawyers, Sidney Powell, is still claiming the late Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez teamed up with the CIA, the Republican governor of Georgia, and a voting software company to steal the election as part of a vast plot to spread communism across the world.
What we are really dealing with here and uncovering more by the day is the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China in the interference with our elections here in the United States.
Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it because they're in on the Dominion scam. Hopefully this week we will get it ready to file.
Sidney, what's...
And it will be biblical.
Of course, it's only biblical if the number of votes passes the sacred number of 30,000. This is an idea so psychotic even Fox News wouldn't take it seriously, despite the fact that by their own admission, they were eager to believe it.
We invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her.
I'm guessing that's not the first time Sidney Powell has told someone to stop contacting her. I don't have any Dalmatians, certainly not 101 of them. Now stop contacting me. Also, think about how nuts this scheme is for it to be too crazy for Tucker Carlson, the guy who, just like 3 weeks ago, called Joe Biden a hologram. Turns out he's not, which is a bummer because I was really looking forward to his appearance with the Tupac hologram at next year's Coachella. But even after Tucker went on his own show and said Trump's lawyers couldn't provide a shred of proof for their unhinged conspiracy theory, Fox News has continued repeating vague insinuations that the election was somehow rigged, even when they admit that Joe Biden won and will be the next president.
Legal challenges continue in a number of states. Serious questions about vote counting, poll watcher access are outstanding. But unless the legal situation changes in a dramatic and, frankly, an unlikely manner, Joe Biden will be inaugurated on January 20th. Now, to say this does not mean I don't think that this election was rife with problems and potential fraud.
I think whenever you look at this election, it's become very clear to people that something is very, very wrong here. People feel like something is really off with this election. We are far from done with this election.
The 2020 presidential election was not fair. No honest person would claim that it was fair.
But Tucker, you yourself tried to get the evidence that it was rigged, and the person claiming to have the evidence wouldn't give it to you. All you did was ask her for proof and beg her to come on your show, and she basically filed a restraining order against you. Sidney Powell treated Tucker Carlson the way you treated an ex. Keeps trying to contact you through your friends. Stop texting Becca and Jenny about my new boyfriend and stop asking me for evidence of voter fraud. The cognitive dissonance these people are capable of is truly astonishing. They're like Scientologists. I've eliminated all suppressive persons from my life. But if you're suppressing people from your life, doesn't that make you a suppressive person? Wow. You're being a real suppressive person right now. But this is what they want. They don't actually want real proof because it doesn't exist. Just like Trump didn't actually want real proof that Barack Obama's birth certificate was fraud because it obviously wasn't. They want to manufacture an insane conspiracy theory and a virulent strain of election trutherism that will exist on Fox News and in right-wing Facebook groups for years to come. So they can galvanize their base by claiming the election was stolen from them, and that in their unhinged worldview is actually Trump, who won 270 electoral votes, which is, of course,
the sacred number.
This has been A Closer Look.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Our guest tonight is the Emmy and Peabody winning host of HBO's Last Week Tonight. You can stream the seventh season on HBO. John, I'm going to show you the cue card Wally wrote. He wrote season twice on HBO Max. Please welcome back to the show our friend John Oliver.
Hello,
man.
Give
me that card, Wally. John heard that, I wanted to see. Now, again, I should have known not to say season twice, but I do want you to see.
Sure, but you went full Ron Burgundy, and you just... The only thing you're guilty of is trusting Wally too much.
It's true.
And on that point, you are guilty of murder.
How are you, my friend?
You know, all right.
I've talked about how jealous I am that you cracked early on to shoot your show in a void, then we all came back, and you stayed in the void. You love the void.
I love it. I love the emotional antiseptic atmosphere that this void provides. It also lets nothing in. Nothing from my life. It's just a completely sterile environment.
You did have a fantastic season finale. You blew up 2016 4 years ago. And then this year you blew up 2020, which arguably deserved it more, which is hard to believe.
Which is why we went with a significantly bigger explosion.
And how does it go? How does it come about when you were trying to figure out how to have a bigger explosion?
Well, it was literally, it was just asking explosive experts, saying, how would you make this bigger? And they would kind of go, I don't know, I guess a lot of gasoline. I think that makes sense. I'm not even sure you needed to be an expert to say just more gasoline. And that's basically it. That's how explosions work. But we went and did that in a quarry in New York, and it was absolutely amazing. It was utterly staggering. I was a little bit cocky having done it four years ago. I'd said to the guy, he said, look, this is going to be really big and it's going to be loud. And I said, you said that 4 years ago and it wasn't that bad. And he looked at me with total contempt and said, this ain't 4 years ago. and then it happened. He said, to his credit, he said, look, this is going to, it's going to feel very hot. And then for about a second and a half, you're going to feel like you're on fire. And right about that. And that second and a half felt long, because you get to a second, you think, I don't have a point of reference, but this, I feel pretty on fuego right now. And then they were all really, really impressed that I didn't flinch, to the point that they were so surprised it became actively hurtful. Just one after one. I can't believe it. Not even if they even went to the monitor afterwards and say, look, they gathered around. Look, he didn't. As if, I guess when you present as a coward so much, it leaves you with a lot of upside for courage because people expect so little. If they were all on the edge, it was like, I expected you to just crawl up, in a fetal position and cry. You didn't cry once. Like the child we anticipate that you are inside.
Yeah, I was very impressed as well. Knowing you were physically there, I was very impressed.
It was loud. I was very brave. I deserved a Wobby Pop, and I didn't get one.
I might have gone fetal, and I'm embarrassed to say it, if we were about to embark on 4 more years of covering a Trump presidency. And we texted a little bit.
Yes.
You actually got to be the first show post the election call, which was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And you got to go do a show that...
When we were texting, I was about to go and do rehearsal. And you said to me something like, right, I honestly haven't thought about what I'd do if he won. And I had not, until you sent that text, I hadn't thought about it either. And it really was... There is no more joyful feeling than the sound of a bullet whizzing past your ear, is there?
How was it? Was it
smells better, food tastes better? Yeah.
We've talked in the past about how people will say, oh my God, the Trump era, the comedy writes itself, which neither you or I would
they
agree.
They do say that, don't they, Sam?
They still
they say it.
Say
that. Yeah. They do say that. And, but, if he were trying to hurt you, it wouldn't matter as much. Then you would internalize saying, oh, you want to be mean. You've said something that you know distresses me. Congratulations. It's the genuine question that pisses me off far, far more. And you know it's coming a lot now.
Well, you do seem well-equipped for the next era because, and I mean this sincerely, you've done such a good job of finding insanely depressing things that have nothing to do with Donald Trump over the years.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of that.
There are so many gigantic systemic problems that I cannot wait. We had one of the happiest moments I've had this year has been at the end of last week. We were talking to research and we were going through stories for the upcoming year. And it was such a smorgasbord of human misery. Just a bunch of subjects that no one in their right mind would try and make comedy out of. And I just felt great thinking, look at what we're going to be able to... I think that's why it feeds into how frustrating it is when people say this must have been fun writing for Trump. Because it's basically like saying to the residents of Elm Street, you're going to miss Freddy Krueger, aren't you? What are you going to dream about now? I don't know. Anything else. Literally, my imagination can run the gamut of human experience. No, I'm not going to miss Freddy. You ass.
We'll be right back with more from John Oliver. John, I've always appreciated over the years that if you text me about something we've done on the show, it is something that no one else has liked or commented on. I felt that way about your long-running Adam Driver bit that came to a wonderful conclusion with Adam Driver.
Yes.
Can you just talk us from the beginning of it, the seeds of where it started, to the conclusion of getting the real Adam Driver?
Yeah, the initial seed was... one of our writers writing a very weird joke out of absolutely nowhere. And then the water on that seed was back when we had an audience in March, feeling real resistance from the audience at the joke. It felt like they about 40% enjoyed it. And it logged in my head of, let's try and do this again. So we did it as a callback a few weeks later. And they weren't really happy to have it back. And so at that point, it became something of an obsession in our staff. And a few months into the bit, we broke it. One of the writers had written something kind of saying, I don't know if he doesn't seem like he would enjoy this. And we thought that it could be over. Like that was as much of a ribbon as it felt we could put on. So at that point, we reached out to him and said, I don't know if you know what we've been doing. There's no easy way into this conversation. We've been making some comments about you, and would you hypothetically be interested in responding towards the end of the year? And the message came back from him saying he has heard about it. He thinks it's very strange, and he's in. And so I thought, oh, great. So we didn't know what we were going to do, but at least we knew at that point that we had an end in sight. And as it turned out, what the end in sight was him calling into the show and explaining the ways in which he was going to demolish me.
It was also, watching it is a real reminder that Adam Driver is a terrific actor.
Unbelievably good. I couldn't see him. I was doing it, I could only hear him. And it wasn't until I watched it back, you think, oh, look at him. Look at him doing acting as I'm giving him nothing back. Like, he's literally performing in front of a tennis ball. That's the equivalent of what he's getting back from me. And yeah, he's doing such good acting.
Yeah.
In a point where it really was not required, but he was really flexing muscles.
Yeah, it was a case, and I say this as a fan of yours. When you guys were on the split screen, it was very hard to imagine anyone was watching you.
I can't be 100% confident it was there. It was every part of that juxtaposition is brutal.
Yeah,
acting ability, physically. Let's not lie. Put those two things together, and it barely seems like the same species. Barely.
You've come here before. You were on the show before Thanksgiving in the past.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you can't be here live, so you missed getting to see the tree. I know how you love stuff like trees.
I love
holiday
it.
Trees.
One of the things I like the most, actually, of coming is that, are you still being tortured by that Christmas music round and round at 30 Rock? Is that still going?
No, because that was for the ice skating rink. So we're actually, it's not.
That's a shame.
It's very
I always enjoyed the kind of the muffled Killing Spree music outside of your office for basically 3.5 weeks.
The tree got off to a bad start.
Yes.
I'm sure you saw this photo. When it went up, it was as though they asked for like a discount tree because no one was coming this year. It looks better now. But I kind of wish. Don't you wish it was that?
It's a huge mistake. They should have left it like that. I was so happy. When they unveiled it and it just started wilting and stuff fell off, I thought, yes, that's right. Is it the tree we want? No. Is it the tree we deserve? Absolutely. Emphatically, yes, it is. They should have just hung one string with, like, lights broken.
Yeah. Or put it right against 30 Rock and, like, turned it around so you couldn't see the side.
Or just lent it on the ground and put a giant garbage bag half around it. I just think that would have been a more fun tree. But no one wants a good tree right now.
Yeah.
Do they? Do people want to live a lie? Come on.
Yeah, it was the bad tree year. I agree. Congratulations. Your first Thanksgiving as an American citizen, John.
Yes, yes.
Assuming it's going to be a muted affair.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, there's not much going on. But as a new American, I'm already just pushing the reality of what Thanksgiving is about further and further down. I'll forget about it next year.
I expect nothing less from you. Hey, this is no surprise, as always. It's a pleasure talking to you. Happy
you
Thanksgiving.
Too.
Happy holidays. Thanks for being here, buddy.
It's an absolute pleasure. See you soon. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, back to the meeting. It's going to be a while. I won't see you soon.
You can stream the 7th season, WALL-E, of Last Week Tonight on HBO Max.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.